you know, Richard, I don't want anybody peering into my thought process. You know, that's something that should be mine and mine alone. And there is going to be that danger that people are going to be able to do that, both in, I think, a physical way and a technological way.
That is, in fact, already occurring. There's a technology now, if you want to talk a little bit about some of these things. There's one technology that is called brain fingerprinting. And it's got a very, I think, chilling name. It's essentially a 21st century polygraph machine. But instead of reading the skin and variations in, you know, whether you're sweating or temperature vacillations, it in fact reads a very specific brain wave. And the developers of this machine claim, and they have evidence to back this up, that they're able to, by reading the brain waves of a person who's hooked up to this, determine whether or not that person has specific memories. And so the application for brain fingerprinting has been suggested to be as follows. Let's say there's been a robbery in which a robber used a pistol with a red grip. The police are out, round up some suspects, bring them in for questioning, and have these people sit down in front of a brain fingerprinting machine, which looks like a computer, and you put a headband around the person with electrodes. And then the police would show people, the suspects, these images of various pistols. And when a pistol is shown with a red grip, a particular brain wave, supposedly according to the developers of this technology, will show itself on the machine, and they're able to pinpoint this person has a definite memory of a red pistol, more likely to have been a suspect.
And maybe he had one when he was, you know, maybe his father had one and took him target shooting.
Who knows? It could be a movie. It could have been a dream. There's all kinds of ways we get images into our minds, short of, you know, seeing things through our own eyes. The developers of this technology, however, claim that they can distinguish those sorts of readings from actual memories. Now, the science is being contested hotly. What's not contested, except for the way that our organization looks at this, is, hey, look, assuming that even the technology is valid, assuming that they do have a device that can read and determine whether or not we have specific memories, we believe that that's a grievous violation of what would most people ought to consider the most intimate, private sphere of their human being, and that is their own mind, their thoughts, and their memories. And so our position is that, you know, as we see these technologies come about and as they are perfected, we need to have in place new protections that are designed to protect this area of human cognition so that we're free to think, we're free to have those memories that, you know, we have for who knows why, and that the government never has the power to essentially exteriorize the most internal and intimate parts of your being.
Sounds like they're trying to circumvent, for example, Richard, a lie detector test, for example, where now you don't have to take one if you don't want one. It seems to me that, like brain fingerprinting, you might not have a choice here.
Well, there's a lot of interesting things constantly around all of these different technologies, and one of them is just a semantic game that goes on. For instance, in law, as you mentioned, the polygraph is generally perceived as unreliable, and it's not admissible in court unless the parties all stipulate that it's okay to have this admitted. On the other hand, fingerprints are like the quintessential "we got him" kind of evidence. Did they get the fingerprints on the gun? You bet they did. That's the man. So while this device, you know, I think is closer to a polygraph test, it's been called by the developers of it the brain fingerprint, and I think that that's because they want to try and kind of, you know, ease this into the court system under the analogy that it's as definite and concrete and incriminating potentially as fingerprints. So they're lobbying hard to get this used by law enforcement now. And there's other uses that go beyond law enforcement. One quick one that I'll mention here is it's possible in the future, if brain fingerprinting takes off like the developers are hoping, that if you have car insurance or any sort of insurance, there may be a clause in the insurance agreement which says that if you are suspicious suspected of filing a false claim that you will be required to take a brain fingerprint. So this device is not something that may only occur if you're, you know, picked up as a suspect in a case. It may be something that becomes more present. It could also be used for pre-employment testing, as well as, you know, after you've been employed. So there's a lot of possible applications for this, all of which we are concerned about. We don't have a problem if it's used voluntarily. If somebody says, hey, look, I didn't do the crime. I'm sitting here on death row. You know, I want to prove it, and I want to take this brain fingerprint. To us, that's actually their, that would be their right.
It's beneficial. Beneficial, yeah, indeed.
Yeah. And that's, they're revealing, they're, you know, waiving essentially their right to the privacy. But we have real problems with an idea that this technology would be used against somebody's, will.
Well, so what if it's being used, though, Richard, let's say for screening of potential military personnel, and you want to make sure that your soldiers, when you ask them if they've done this or they've done that, you want to get that done.
Mm-hmm.
The possibility, let's say, of it, well, here's an application. Well, what would be wrong if you put it on aliens, not from above, but the other kind, who are coming in from different countries, and you strap them on this thing and said, you know, are you a terrorist, or are you this, and are you that?
Okay, that's two different categories. I think that soldiers are already treated very differently than sort of civilians by the law, and also by just the way that they're, you know, entered into the military. So I think that there may be a different policy, for instance, with respect to your average citizen like you or me, who's always just one step away from being arrested for anything, and somebody who wants to join the military. I think it's possible, you know, although I'd leave this to, you know, military attorneys to debate, but I think that, you know, that may be one circumstance where it could be applicable. I don't, you know, see as many issues there as I do with just a free person who's out and about and gets picked up and the police want to use this device. With aliens, I think that, again, there's a possibility that, you know, hey, they want to enter into the United States and ought to be willing to, you know, answer various questions and prove that they're not going to, you know, wreak havoc or, you know, in the worst case, be terrorists. But I think that certainly they're entitled to the same constitutional rights as everybody else. I mean, that's well known. Alien, you don't have to be a U.S. citizen to be protected by the Constitution.